Well, this is exciting. It's good to be here. Aaron for sure did not have to tell me to use dumber words, but hopefully this all makes sense as I'm talking. So as most of you know, for the past month and a half or so, we've been going through a series on the kingdom of heaven, on what its values are, what it is, and how we're supposed to act as people who belong to it. We've been focusing on reshaping that well-known phrase, in the world, not of it, into something more like not of the world, but sent to it, not of this world. Because while we do belong to something far greater than the world, we're called to go into the world and do the work that God has for us there. We're not allowed to separate ourselves from the world around us. And last Sunday, Aaron used the two parables of the pearl and the hidden treasure in Matthew 13 to talk about the value of the kingdom. How when Jesus enters our lives in whatever manner he does, our response should be to give up all that we have in order to follow him if necessary. Well, today we're going to be in Matthew 13 again, looking at a few more parables. And though I didn't see it at first, last week's message actually leads in really well to this message. The parables we'll be looking at today deal with the protection of the kingdom, in a sense, and the ultimate separation of those who would do it harm. And I say that last week's sermon leads well into that because protection is our natural response to the things that we value, be it our family or our friends, our children, even just especially valuable items. We want to guard those things from dangerous people or circumstances. So it only makes sense that if we value the kingdom, even value it above everything else, we'd feel the same way about it. When it comes to the kingdom, though, as we will see in these parables, we quickly realize that protection is not the job that we're cut out for. So the main parable that I'm talking about is the parable of the wheat and the weeds, which starts in Matthew 13, verse 24. Feel free to turn to it yourself and read along if you'd like, and we'll jump right in. Starting in verse 24, Jesus told them another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like a man who sowed good seed in his field. But while everyone was sleeping, his enemy came and sowed weeds among the wheat and went away. When the wheat sprouted and formed heads, then the weeds also appeared. The owner's servants came to him and said, "Sir, didn't you sow good seed in your field? Where then did the weeds come from?" "An enemy did this," he replied. The servants asked him, "Do you want us to go and pull them up?" Makes sense, right? "No," he answered, "because while you are pulling the weeds, you may uproot the weed or the wheat with them. Let both grow together until the harvest. At that time, I will tell the harvesters, first collect the weeds and tie them into bundles to be burned, then gather the wheat and bring it into my barn." There's a lot going on here and a lot to draw out of this, but for the sake of clarity, I want to read through some of Jesus' explanation of this parable that he gives later on in the same chapter. So it's just a little bit further, starting in verse 36. "Then he left the crowd and went into the house. His disciples came to him and said, 'Explain to us the parable of the weeds in the field.' He answered, 'The one who sowed the good seed is the Son of Man. The field is the world, and the good seed stands for the people of the kingdom. The weeds are the people of the evil one, and the enemy who sows them is the devil. The harvest is the end of the age, and the harvesters are the angels.'" We'll save the rest of his explanation for later. But what we seem to have here is a list of the various roles or components of the parable that he gave earlier and their real-world counterparts. And since we're trying to figure out how this applies to us today, I'd like to look specifically at what our own role is and what it isn't. So in this explanation, it seems pretty straightforward what we are. We're the wheat, right? We're the good seed that God sowed in the field, in the world. But it's maybe even more important to note what we're not. In this parable, what we are not described as is the harvesters. We're not described as the ones sowing the seed. In fact, we're not really described as doing any sort of work. Though not included in his explanation, which itself is kind of interesting, the one place in the parable that kind of hints at us being workers of any sort is in verses 27 through 29. And here, all that the workers are told to do is not pull up the weeds, is not to do anything. Now, I don't know about you, but for me, that's a little bit aggravating. When I see a problem, I want to go and fix it, and seeing a field full of weeds, I think, you know, give me a couple days, give me a weekend, I'll knock this thing out, right? So it's a little bit aggravating that we are told not to solve the problems of having the weeds infesting this field. Just like I'd want to protect my family or my friends from those who would do them harm, I want to guard the kingdom against those who would do it harm. But if we're looking at what our role is and isn't according to the parable, it seems pretty clear that though we greatly value the kingdom, we aren't supposed to be the ones guarding it. We aren't supposed to be the ones uprooting the weeds, deciding who's in and who's out. We're just supposed to be the good seed growing in the world where God has planted us. That might be an oversimplification, but to put it differently, as followers of Christ, our role is to be heaven's ambassadors, not heaven's bouncers. Heaven's ambassadors, not its bouncers. I had a lot of fun coming up with that phrase, so I hope you like it. We'll be going back to that as we go along. Now, what I don't want you to hear me saying is that we aren't supposed to stand against the wrongdoing or the evil that we see in the world around us. In Isaiah 1:17, it says, "Learn to do right, seek justice, defend the oppressed, take up the cause of the fatherless, plead the case of the widow." So God clearly values justice, and so should we. I mean, that's part of being an ambassador of a kingdom, is upholding its values wherever you're at. And we can't do that silently. We do have a role. Obviously, we should constantly be working in the world to bring about the values of the kingdom where we can. But what we shouldn't be doing is attempting to bring that change about by prematurely uprooting and discarding those we believe don't belong to the kingdom or don't belong in the church. A bouncer's job is to keep the wrong people out and let the right people in. But this role is not really one that works for us in the kingdom. And I think there are a few reasons for that. First of all, we don't actually have the proper insight to do that. One of the things that bothered me about the parable of the wheat and the weeds was that little section that I was talking about earlier where the farmer didn't want his workers to uproot the seed or the wheat, sorry, uproot the weeds prematurely. And the explanation was that they might uproot the wheat along with the weeds. And while I understand that, you know, maybe if they're haphazardly like pulling up a bunch of weeds, that might happen, but it seemed to me like they should be careful enough to be able to pull up the plants that they don't, or not pull up the plants that they don't want to pull up, right? Well, this is where some of the unspoken context was pretty helpful. You see, in Israel, there's a pretty common weed called a darnel. This weed was an absolute nuisance for wheat farmers. Had an excellent name, by the way. I think that's so fun. And it was a pain to get rid of because it looks just like the wheat until it's matured. To me, this makes that section of the parable make a lot more sense. It wasn't just a bunch of dandelions or something growing among the wheat field. It was an infestation of plants that looked just like the wheat. Even if the servants were extremely careful, there was a great chance that they would have missed many of the weeds or accidentally pulled up a bunch of the wheat in the process. Not to mention it would have probably taken them a long time. Now, I know he's God and everything, but isn't it incredible that Jesus found just the perfect analogy that describes the position that we're in as the church. That here we are planted in the world that God has sent us into, surrounded by countless other people, and we're desperately trying to gauge their character by their appearances, by their words and their actions in order to protect ourselves and the ones that we love, our fellow believers, from those who would do us harm or who would pervert our faith. And yet we are unable to look into their hearts and accurately separate the good from the evil with any sort of assuredness. And when we begin blindly uprooting and removing the people in our lives and our churches that we believe don't belong there, we end up doing more harm than good. Even if we do get one or two who had malicious intent, the wake of our campaign often leaves good people with scars and severed relationships. At the very least, it leaves people with a bad taste in their mouths for Christianity. God didn't task us with the role of guarding the kingdom for a good reason. He didn't give us the ability to do so. I was going to use the sort of sister parable to this one. This is 47 through 50 of the fish in the net to talk more about how we don't have the power and the authority to sort the good from the evil, even if we knew who they were. Looking at kind of the absurdity of a fish in a net trying to push other fish out of the holes, or even like a stalk of wheat trying to uproot the plants around it. But we don't really have time for that, and I think you all get the point. We're not heaven's bouncers. So that still leaves us stuck in a field full of weeds, still surrounded by people who may want to cause us harm or attack our faith. What are we supposed to do? If we're supposed to be ambassadors and not bouncers, what does being an ambassador actually look like? Well, we have a pretty good example of this in the book of Jeremiah. This is a book written around a time when, or written about a time when the Israelites were conquered by the Babylonians, and many of them were taken into exile into Babylon. In the middle of this dark, messy, confusing time for them, the prophet Jeremiah wrote a letter from Jerusalem to the elders of the exiled Jewish communities. And beginning in chapter 29, verse 4 of Jeremiah, it went like this. This is what the Lord Almighty, the God of Israel, says to all those I carried into exile from Jerusalem to Babylon. Build houses and settle down. Plant gardens and eat what they produce. Marry and have sons and daughters. Find wives for your sons and give your daughters in marriage so that they too may have sons and daughters. Increase in number there, do not decrease. Also, seek the peace and prosperity of the city to which I have carried you into exile. Pray to the Lord for it, because if it prospers, you too will prosper. God was asking them to be ambassadors. He was asking them to be representatives of his kingdom while they were in a foreign land. They weren't supposed to do this by sabotaging the Babylonians, nor were they to distance themselves from the people and the culture around them. God wanted them to be involved in the larger community, the fields that they had been planted in. He wanted them to display his virtues and his character in a world of people who most likely wouldn't have seen those anywhere else. I've heard a phrase before, you may be the only Jesus that someone will ever see. And while I'm sure that oversimplifies the work that God is doing in people's lives a bit, there's a lot of truth to it. We are the ones who are supposed to be living as citizens of the kingdom in a world where the kingdom is not yet fully realized. We are the ones who, when no one else will, are supposed to feed the hungry, clothe the naked, care for the sick, bring the stranger in. Do for the least of these what many would never think of doing. That's what it means to be an ambassador. That's the role that we're called to fill, the work that we are called to do. There's a part of the explanation of the parable of the wheat and the weeds that I left out previously, and I think it's a good part to end on. Beginning in Matthew 13, verse 40. As the weeds are pulled up and burned in the fire, so it will be at the end of the age. The Son of Man will send out his angels, and they will weed out of his kingdom everything that causes sin and all who do evil. They will throw them into the blazing furnace where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Then the righteous will shine like the sun in the kingdom of their Father. Whoever has ears, let them hear. Well, isn't that cheery? There is both a wonderful and terrible reality that God will ultimately sort out the evil from the good. He will ultimately restore the world back to its intended design. This can easily be used, and I think maybe too often is used, as a way to scare people into line. But I hope that we haven't heard the fire and brimstone message so much that we miss the hope that's inside of it. The hope that God will make things right in the end. Though now we are not able to protect the people or the community that we love from all of the brokenness and the evil in the world, there will come a day when God removes all of that. There will be a day when all of the work that we've been striving to do and that we've been unable to do will be completed. And I hope that we don't forget the character of the one who will ultimately be doing the judging. Because it's the same God who died for us while we were still sinners. And how lucky are we that we have such a merciful, loving judge, right? Let's not lose sight of that. Until that judgment comes, though, let's not waste our time. Let's not ignore the field that we've been planted in or reject those we've been planted beside, because there are people all around us that God desperately wants to find their way into his kingdom. As you go about the rest of your week, I hope that you'll take some time to think about all of this, what it means for you specifically in your situation to be an ambassador or representative of the kingdom. And as you do that, I'd like you to ask yourself a few questions. First of all, who have you, consciously or unconsciously, already removed from the kingdom? Where in your life might you be a representative of the character and values of God? And are you living with the hope and the urgency that comes from knowing that one day God will fully restore his creation and bring it back into the fold of his kingdom? So let's go into the world as ambassadors for Christ, not with fear or uncertainty, but with the hope that comes from knowing that the work that we're doing for God will ultimately be perfected by him. Let's pray. Dear God, thank you for this opportunity to worship together, to be a community, and to see a little bit of your kingdom on earth here today. I pray that as we leave this building, we wouldn't leave behind the kingdom. We wouldn't leave behind your values, and that we'd take it into the rest of our lives, that we'd show it to the people around us. I pray that you'd help us in our hearts to see the people that we may have cut out, people that we may have rejected, or just maybe uncomfortable with being neighbors of. And I pray that you'd help us to reach out to them, to reach them with your love and your mercy and your good news. Oh, bless us as we go out. Thank you for everything. And in Jesus' name, amen.